Off the Ball.
G-A-A. Look, we targeted getting off to a better start than we did against Mayo. We were very disappointed with our first half performance against Mayo. I think we definitely brought a lot of the learnings from that game out there today, particularly the way we defended.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
It's Wednesday morning. We're going to talk about England and Croatia at 8.15. We're going to talk about the Bulls and Leinster with Kane and Moody around about 8.45. And then we have Cameron Hill. And then we have Hurler of the Year, for now, Tipperary's John McGrath. But overnight, it was all about the world's best strikers, who all decided that they've decided that the race for the Golden Boot is going to be very important. Very good morning to you. If you want to get involved this morning, 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Rachel, how are you?
Very good, thanks,
Jer. Welcome along. Sarah, how are you?
Jer. Good.
So it was a hat-trick for Leo Messi, mm-hmm. with another one disallowed. It was two for Mbappe with two other really good opportunities for him. Haaland scored twice.
Did you?
Some Austrian young fella pinged one in from 40 yards, whose name I don't even know. Anyway, doesn't matter. too much football, but all good now.
It's getting there, yeah. Like even the French game was like indicative of that. The first half was a bit meh, and then the second half, Mbappe and Elise started to take over. I think it is progressively getting more entertaining, but I think there's still too much going on.
Are you like consciously only watching the second half of games at the moment so you don't overindulge yourself?
Not going to lie, a little bit, yet.
Yeah. To be honest, I find myself on my phone a lot during these games, but then when something happens, I'm tuning back in. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that's going on. Even, I suppose yesterday, at least, that there was only one kickoff that was like watchable for us, because it was late enough as it was, and there was no games prior to it. But even still, I feel like I'm just forgetting what's happening in games. Do you know?
There is obviously 100 and whatever number of games there are. It's going to be tricky to remember who scored what and when. It's good when, oh, Leo Messi, I know him. He scored a hat trick. Excellent. Oh, Haaland. Yeah, good man. Mbappe, yeah. Mbappe's record at the World Cup is kind of ridiculous. Like, when you think about it, Deschamps' record at the World Cup is also kind of ridiculous. I know he comes in for a lot of criticism for not always fully utilising the gifts that he has been bestowed. But it looks like maybe he's got that right now. Certainly some changes at halftime. He's getting credit from L'Équipe this morning. I was checking their player ratings. Come back to me when you won the whole tournament is basically the sense. Deschamps gets six. It was a totally dominant performance in the second half, right?
Yeah.
Against a really good Senegal side, we think.
They're a quality team, yeah. No, they are, definitely. Yeah, you'd expect them to get it out of the group as well.
And the goal that they scored was, it wasn't a consolation, it went 2-0, 90 minutes, and then 94 minutes, Senegal ping one in. And you think, okay, well, the goalkeeper, you know, it's a good solid 7 out of 10 performance. What do you think L'Équipe gave him?
Oh, I didn't think he was great now.
All right.
I would have said like a 5.
A 3.
Oh, a 3. Okay, yeah. That's a bit harsh.
Is that bad?
No, I don't think he was that bad.
Now, he did nearly score an own goal from a Nicholas Jackson shot in the first half where the ball cannons off the upright and that catches his trailing leg. Well, I think L'Équipe are deducting 2 points for that.
Jesus.
What are you doing with your trailing leg?
You'd want to turn around and fire the ball into your own net, really, to deserve a 3.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, particularly when you only let in one goal and your team wins 3-1.
I thought Adrian Rabiot was class.
He was really good, yeah.
I was like very shocked.
Really good. He was the best player in the first half, I thought.
Not impressed. 6 out of 10. I mean,
Is there some narratives going
players,
on here?
This is what the Ireland rugby players get when they get hammered 40-0. They all get sixes. Like, you'd want to really do something. You'd want to kill somebody to get a 4. Like, straight red card after 2 minutes. I'm going give you 4, yeah, because you showed up.
It's so
you wrote
French,
your name
though.
On the paper.
It is so French, yeah.
6. Are they trying to manage expectations? You know, they're not...
No, they're just assholes.
Yeah, they're the keeper in that game, yeah.
They're like, no. When you win it, we'll give you 9s.
What about the rest of them?
What do you think Dembele got? He got hooked off after 80 minutes.
He wasn't great now. It's pretty anonymous.
Yeah, okay.
I would say like a six.
You're not factoring in the L'Équipe discount. He got four. Desiree Doué.
I thought he was very good.
Five.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He was like the best player for the majority of the game until Elise took over.
Elise, in fairness, got a good solid 7 out of 10. Mr. Dependable.
Two assists, 7 out of 10.
He was outrageous at times. And they really seem to have been able to utilise him in a way that's going to get him on the ball a lot early and often. So, yeah.
What about Mbappe?
Mbappe gets an 8, you know.
Just the 8, yeah.
Yeah, well, he did miss some. You know, can't be handing out the 9s and 10s just yet.
I did like in the commentary when Mbappe finally scored, Darren Maloney's like, yeah, Mbappe, you'd never doubt him. It's like, you'd have doubted him for that entire first half.
Yeah, yeah. We were actively doubting.
The opening line of the blurb is he missed everything in the first half. First 15 minutes of the second half weren't much better. It's like, but this is why we have games in quarters. For bits like this, it's like, ugh. Like, all right, attention span is a bit dead. The whole point of the game is you set stuff up as time goes on.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought Elise was amazing. It was kind of weird in the first half that he was dropping really deep for the ball. And it happened once that I was kind of like, oh, maybe he's just coming looking for the ball. He's not getting many touches. He's just getting frustrated. But then he did it like 3, 4, 5 times. And I was kind of like, is this the game plan? Is he playing like in the 8 role here? But then eventually, I think in the second half, he kind of was drifting back out wide again. He was playing through the middle a good bit too. He had kind of free roam of the half of the pitch in the second half, but... Yeah, well, once he started to pick out passes, you're like, yeah, he's unplayable. And then he's the type of player, when he gets a bit of confidence, then he's trying things, like the half turns that he was making. Yeah, he's just a joy to watch. Mbappe's the same as well. Once Mbappe sees the ball go into the net, then he is unplayable.
Now, they did play Dembele, Mbappe, Doué and Elise, which is incredibly attacking.
That was interesting. I didn't expect Doué to start.
And I don't know if you're going to be able to get away with that against the really top teams who have those three or four quality midfielders. So it was Tchouaméni and Rabiot. And Rabiot's through balls were class. Now, again, I don't know if he has the legs for this entire tournament.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not going to be playing every game. Kante was doing press during the week. He didn't see a minute. Is that the type of thing that, like...
He'll definitely play at some point.
Well, I wonder, are they just minding him for the absolutely massive games?
Yeah, that was a pretty important game last night, is the only thing.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they felt like they had some kind of massive attacking benefit. They did only use 2 subs. It's also wild.
Yeah, that was interesting, yeah. I probably underestimated their depth in midfield, to be honest, because Tchouaméni, I thought, had a pretty decent game as well. And like you said, Kante, not seeing a minute. It'd be interesting to see, because, yeah, at times even Doué in the second half was doing what Elise did in the first half and was dropping very deep. And he wasn't defending, but he was kind of playing, like, not box-to-box either, but he was dropping very deep for a player that, you know, you'd never see him do that for PSG. So maybe that's plugging the gap in midfield a little bit, because it was only a 2-man midfield.
His heat map is actually very deep for somebody who you consider a forward.
Yeah.
The L'Équipe's of his class. You need to use archive.ph to read it, though, because it's paywall.
Ryan Cherki was a bit disappointed off the bench. I know he only got like 5 minutes, whatever it was in the end, but that kind of maybe a little bit of an expectation to drop deep as well doesn't suit his game, I don't think, as much. He needs the ball up the pitch with a little bit of space, and he looked a bit rusty, but I wouldn't be too worried about him. But yeah, when things click for them, I think they are unplayable. I they are my favourites to win the whole thing. I was a bit like in the first half, like, not too sure now, but once they get things together and like actually start playing as a team, yeah, I think they might be unstoppable. I don't know what team matches up well against them.
Against Spain, against France.
Yeah, because no one's defence is super strong.
Portugal's midfield.
Cape Verde.
Sorry, of course. Yeah, sorry.
All in the Game points out that Haaland in one match has more World Cup goals than Rooney. I mean, look, it's a quirk of injury and form. But we shall see. Carlinho, good morning to you. L'Équipe have always been heavy graders of the national team. They take no prisoners. There's something to be said for it, isn't there? Just having one media editor who are complete assholes.
Should we?
Yeah.
Should we rebrand?
On Ferran.
There's a reason they're the biggest. They're the biggest headlines, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, we were talking about the documentary.
Bus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my... Try not to give too many recommendations, but everybody has to stop what they're doing and watch this tonight. Mm. Ignore whatever match is on, England-Croatia. No matter how good England-Croatia is, it can't be as good as this documentary. You're kind of like, I know all this story. I know exactly what's going to happen here. And then, like, oh my God, you forget just how much of an asshole Ramon Domenech is. And he was their coach for two World Cups.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he stopped us going.
Yeah, it's one of the best sports documentaries I've watched in a long time. And it's
the only person missing was Anelka.
Yeah, that was the glaring thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But you say you know the story, but there's a lot there that I probably didn't know. I would have been young enough at the time. I was like, what? 9 years old? But like, you knew what was going on. You knew there was an issue with Anelka. You knew about the bus thing at the training. But there's so much that goes into it. Like, the press officer was an absolute spoofer. You had no idea what was going on. And then you have the note that Dominic reads to the media after the bus incident. It's just, and Patrice Evra, bless him, is just trying to hold the whole thing together by himself and no one's helping him. And even William Gallas never plays another game for France after that.
He might have been at the end of his career anyway.
Yeah, he was a top defender at the time though.
Well,
like, he was starting up to that point and then he just never plays again.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much to it. Yeah, definitely watch. It's on Netflix. It's amazing. It's amazing.
There are some characters in it who come across well and there's some characters in it who come across badly, and there's a nice twist at the end where you're like, okay, right, fair enough. Will I run through the papers? Or yep. Do we want to talk Leo Messi hat-trick, his first ever World Cup hat-trick?
Sixth World Cup, first ever. And his 200 cap, it was just like a game filled of perfect stats. His first World Cup hat-trick, 200 cap, sixth World Cup. Madness. And equals the World Cup score record we're close to for 16 goals.
Yeah, 16 goals.
He's going to pop that.
Mbappe's coming for it though. Mbappe's on 14. And I something tells me Mbappe is going to score a few more goals this World Cup as well. But yeah, no, it was amazing.
Mbappe also became France's top scorer.
Yeah.
In the process of that, Messi had his first goal disallowed.
Yeah.
His first goal, that first time he scored last night, was disallowed, and then he went on to score a hat trick, and it was kind of the full suite of Leo Messi finishes. Low key underrated, the one that comes back from the goalkeeper that he just uses his right foot.
Yeah.
That's like, oh look, I'm playing a different game from you, because most people are rushing into that and they blast it. But
like with Sarr in the France Senegal game, we knew he had that chance just before half time. I don't know why he doesn't hit that with his left. He tries to completely open up his body and blast it over the bar with his right.
Yeah, he had a couple of good chances. In Mbaye's goal, like, I know people were talking about the finish and Maignan probably should do better, but. there was New York Knicks in the crowd, but ankles were still being broken on the pitch. Like, he just dropped, I can't remember, was it Theo Hernandez he dropped? I can't remember. But the step over and goes around him, puts him on his ass.
Hernandez,
amazing.
Jumped a couple of points for that as well. It looked like he got a four. Stick Luka Dean in the team. Everybody needs a Luka Dean in their team, it turns out.
I kind of was surprised about that, yeah.
Hernandez is like, was he 125 million or whatever? A billion euro they spent on him?
Yeah, Dean has had a good season though.
Yeah.
Do you think we should be a lot more critical? Like Leaky, like, is there a big place for that there? Just for completely honest, like, if something goes to shit, you call it out.
I think there's a balance to be struck between just doing it for provocation and actually that was bad. Like, I would definitely, we've talked about the player ratings for the rugby team in the past. Like, they get hammered by France and there's like sixes and sevens. You're like, anybody have a 6 or 7 game there? You know, like,
do France just get away with it a little bit more because they're French?
That has been their shtick the whole time. So
they've stuck to it.
Like,
yeah. Everyone knows what they're like. Yeah.
We did a piece with their former executive editor on it, and he was like, "Oh, we just sit around. It's really important." And people do actually go to L'Équipe to see. I mean, that's one of the first things I did this morning. Mm. Was like, "Oh, I wonder what L'Équipe was saying about this."
It's like in the documentary where they're talking about, you know, after the Anelka Domenech blow up in the dressing room, they had a quote which ended up being false, but it was like, I won't say it on there. It's a pretty, there's loads of expletives in it.
You son of a whore.
Yeah. And they had three like versions of it. And they were like, we could go kind of normal newspaper, be like, blow up in the dressing room or something like that. A kind of slightly muted quote, but still pretty egregious. And then they just, you know, just paste like paste the whole thing onto it, the front page. Just go full quote, non-censored, and that's what they did. And it was like, oh.
Va te faire enculé.
No one else is doing
ça
that.
Ça fait le pute. They put it up. Go screw yourself, you son of a bitch.
No one else is doing that. Like.
Now, he did sue them. I don't know what happened in the end.
Yeah, because it turns out he just didn't say that. Like, he never used any of those words.
It's like the Roy Keane, You English See, which is in the movie.
It is in the movie, yeah.
I haven't seen the movie, but...
And there was an audible gasp in the cinema.
Was there?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he should sue for that.
Yeah.
Because everybody says he never said it.
Yeah. Everyone
like
in
everybody
the room,
says
yeah.
he never said it. Yeah. Like,
and it was one of the things, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
Turns out it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, that's kind of unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, most people aren't going to go, oh, I'm just going to check exactly what the truth of that scenario is. But so Messi up and running, Haaland up and running, Haaland with a good first goal and then a classic Haaland second goal. You see, if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery.
Retro luck,
don't buy lottery tickets, it's a tax on the stupid people.
Yeah, classic. I said it last week, I think the centre-forwards are more prominent than, well, maybe not ever, but are... Again, prominent in world football. That's great to see. And I think like Gyökeres and Isak as well scoring a couple of days ago. It's pretty indicative of where football's going again. I like it. I like a striker. Proper centre forward, a big man up front. It's back in fashion.
All right, I'll do the papers. If anybody has anything else you want to get off your chest, you can get us in the comments on YouTube, or you could also, of course, get us on WhatsApp. Brennan's push for Parnell Park made the Dubs look weak. This is Daryl Shea, who I think is having the best summer, a career summer. Every week he's saying stuff and you're like, I'm going to read this. Dublin are always going to play Donegal and Croke Park as the opening line. I know there may have been some butting of heads around the GAA, between the GAA and the county board this summer, but let's call a spade here. There was no chance of it going to Parnell Park. And then he goes on to say, I think it's a bad look for Gerard Brennan to be even bringing the idea up in the first place. I totally understood Kildare doing the Newbridge or Nowhere thing, or Antrim making sure Armagh went to Corrigan Park, or Louth insisting on Inishkeen. I get all that. You're allowed to do those things when you're up and coming and you're fighting for every inch. Let's be honest though, there are certain counties where that stuff doesn't fly. I come from one of them and so does Gerard Brennan. You can't be Dublin or Kerry and go around pretending you're the small guy. It never rings true and nobody buys it.
I don't think that's what he was trying to do, was it? That's not what I read into it. I thought he was just kind of, he wanted a good atmosphere at a game.
An atmosphere then that would benefit Dublin though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? And a pitch that would benefit Dublin. I don't know if it's that article, they had the dimensions of the pitch up and the comparisons between the size of the pitch in Parnell and the size of the pitch in Croke Park. And
significant difference?
Significant difference, yeah. Which, how is that allowed? I'm not too sure. Like,
I think there's a basic minimum and then Croker's obviously bigger.
There's a range, isn't there? Like,
Killarney is just as wide. It's just that the... Was it Killarney we were talking about?
Killarney's a big pitch, isn't it? Yeah.
But that the crowd are right in on top of you, so...
Feels small time.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it is... It backfired, you'd have to say, Gerard Brennan putting it out there and then not getting it over the line.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And you would suggest that the county board are not as aligned with him as they need to be, and... Where's that going to go? So, I don't necessarily agree with Dara saying that, like, it makes them look weak. Not getting it is the weakness. That's the bit where, like...
Yeah, him saying it's not. Yeah,
the county board should have been tipped off. I'm going to say this and you're going to sort it out for me. Come hell or high water, this is what you're going to do for me. And they'd be like, okay, thanks. Great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that word with our sponsors and Croke Park, but... If that's what you want, because you're our manager and we're backing you on it, and then it didn't happen. So,
yeah, I wonder, was there just a quiet word in his ear as he left the Breffni Park press room, being like, "Yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, we can't make that happen."
They can though. Like they obviously.
I'm sure they could.
They can. They could
move some mountains. You know? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't look great. I wonder if he never gets banned or whatever, the situation would. The Galway backroom team member never happens and he's in camp for those weeks. Does he say that?
Well, who knows what?
Is he aware of the fact that if they get through camp and then...
Is that a mad sliding doors moment where they actually win Leinster because he's there and they've had good games in Croke Park? Because side by side with this piece, I just want to read one more bit about Dara to flesh out his argument. The most important group of people who don't buy it are your players. if Dublin are going to do anything for the rest of this championship, it's going to be on the back of the fellas who won All-Ireland in the past, O'Callaghan, Kilkenny, Costello and the rest. To them, Parnell Park is a place for club matches. Croke Park is where they play for Dublin. And many of those Dublin players in the past would have said that there was a club team element to playing for Dubs. That was my club, was, you know, the sentiment that many of them would have had. And so there is probably something in that. And obviously also Jim McGuinness is licking his lips like, oh, you didn't want to play us in Croke Park? We're playing in Croke Park. Oof. Okay, no worries.
Does that just suit Joe Brennan though, then, down to the ground that he's said that? And
now he has the siege mentality fostered.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's not like, oh, we're bringing you down to Croke Park. We've talked about it so often that it's such an advantage for the Dubs to play in Croke Park. And he's almost flipped that a little bit. It no longer feels like the biggest home advantage.
Yeah.
Maybe,
the fact that they have to play in Croker.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe they could buy into it, even our own county board is against us. No one's going for us.
That's one of them. Yeah, that's very glass half full reading of the situation where we had the best home advantage in world sport and we've turned it into a negative. How'd that happen?
Let's use it.
Sean Moran's piece, which is right beside Dara's piece in the Times this morning, is pointing out as well that Sunday stands a good chance of being a fourth successive championship defeat at headquarters. Tyrone in last year's All-Ireland quarter-final, Westmeath in the Leinster final, Louth in round one of the All-Ireland, and barring a big upheaval of form, Donegal in round three. Should that happen, it'll be the first time Dublin have lost four consecutive matches at Croke Park. Not like first time in a period of time. The first time, full stop. They previously managed four in a row without winning, but those included the 1991 saga with Meath. So, yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're an all-time bad Dublin team, though, does it? I was in Breffni Park the weekend and like that forward line is still stacked.
I know
some of them are maybe one or two years past their best, but they're still quality. And like they've decent players around the pitch as well, but like Pádraig Coughlin-Byrne is a nuisance in the midfield. Sean Bugler's a great defender. Like I think Comerford on his day is a good goalkeeper. He's had his issues with kickouts, but I think overall people will agree he's a decent goalkeeper. They're not an all-time awful Dublin team, are they?
No, they're not. And that's, I think, what the big surprise is. Like, is there a big performance in them? Like, who was talking yesterday about Conn just deciding to go for it? Was it Tommy?
Tommy was saying that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he did. Like, once they started to click in the second half against Cavan, you were like, oof, this is giving me flashbacks of like 2016 type of Dublin. It was like, this is lethal. So I think they still have it in them.
Yeah. And I don't know what the truth is about Donegal.
Yeah, it's hard to know where they're at, yeah. It has to be Kerry twice this year, though, at the same time.
Which Kerry? Like, you know, Kerry shorn of so many of their players in a non-knockout game.
That Kerry team still beats most teams in the country, though. And probably quite comfortably.
The league final was such a weird game. Fair enough, they absolutely annihilated them that day. But the championship game, I'm not sure. The Irish Examiner, following on our theme of the seagulls ruining the country, have a great picture on the front, which is a way of getting tennis onto the front page of the Irish Examiner. Game, set and catch. Do you like it?
I like it.
Yeah.
What they did there. A seagull steals Conor Gannon's banana from his bag during his match against Bernard Tomic at Elm Park, Dublin yesterday. The Irish player recorded a major upset at the Dublin Challenger tournament as he outlasted the former Wimbledon quarterfinalist to win 6-7, 6-4, 7-6. This is one of the biggest wins in Irish tennis in a long time. Like, Tomic is a name that people recognise, you know, casual tennis fans will be like, oh, yeah, him, yeah. So, former Wimbledon quarterfinalist, Conor Gannon, it turns out, is 20, a rising star of Irish tennis. And I think we might have more on that this week.
We will, yeah. Myself, Eve and Susanna are heading down to tomorrow in Elm Park, so we'll be bringing you lots of coverage as part of our Word in the Street podcast. And I can just hear Colin Buhig somewhere at home on paternity leave screaming all his tennis knowledge at the laptop. His time has come and he's not here. So I'm sorry, Colin, if I'm letting you down in the hot seat here today with my lack of Irish tennis landscape.
Now, as we would always tell Colin, the best ability is availability, Colin, and he's just not here when it's time to shine. He'll be back soon. The Golf is the lead in the Irish Examiner this morning on the back page. McIlroy expects different Big Apple reception at Shinnecock. He's pointing out that, the Ryder Cup crowds, they're assholes, but the US Open crowds, for some reason, not. Look, I love playing around New York. I love playing in this area. It's got some of the best golf in the world. this is different. The Ryder Cup is us versus them. Very partisan, very, like, it's just a different beast. So yeah, was it a rough week for me at times? Absolutely. But it is what it is. If that's a price to pay to live the life that I'm living, then I'm okay with that. Which is obviously, now, you can say that very calmly. But obviously, it was horrific stuff that he ended up getting put through, him and his wife in the crowd. And with the benefit of the distance of time, he has had the opportunity to go, yeah, okay, I can put up with that. But he shouldn't have to, I think.
He probably will never have to again, I would say. I don't think, will they ever see crowds like that? Just the timing of it, where it was located, the way the games were going, that the US were mounting that comeback, and just like the tetchiness about America at the time as well. You know, Trump was there, and
yeah,
the way the crowd were G'd up by that MC.
Oh yeah,
never forget.
Yeah, well, they hopefully they won't do that G'ing up again. But is the genie not just out of the bottle? It's like, that's what.
Yeah, it could be.
It's going to attract the people who do that next time. Now look, maybe the stewarding gets better.
Yeah, it's like it's never going. It's that kind of like New York crowd, though.
Well, yeah,
isn't
it might be
that had that reputation.
Stick it back. I actually don't know what the next few rotations of the American courses are, yeah. So it was great. It was amazing. New York is New York, and they're going to make their voices heard. That's a good thing. That's a good atmosphere to play in. So he's feeling good about life heading into
Minnesota next.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The nice Midwesterners who are all Europeans anyway.
It's going to Barcelona then in 2031.
Yeah, and they had the kind of bottler argument going over him as well that whole time, whereas you can just stand up at any stage and just be like,
somebody
done it all.
Somebody from the crowd did shout, oh, where's your jacket? And he turned to his caddy and went, jacket? Jackets, plural. So he is obviously enjoying the benefits of being the champ. United make Rashford available for $40 million fee. This is James Ducker. It's like, so we nearly sold him last week to somebody for $29 million, but now his price is $40 million. How do you feel about that, lads? Do you see any buyers at $40 million for Marcus Rashford?
No.
He shoots the lights out over the next couple of weeks.
No, actually, he's
got the perfect opportunity.
True. If there's a place to prove yourself again, it's the World Cup. I thought he had a really good season with Barca, but it did feel like it's either Barca keep him on now, or, you know, he's probably going to have trouble finding another club.
Bearing in mind, because they've qualified for the Champions League, he's back to $325,000 a week, baby.
Woo. Yeah.
Nice work if you can get it.
It'd be interesting to see what they do with him. They might just see if it works. Like, we were speaking a few weeks ago about this, and like, is Carrick the type of person to get something out of him? Probably. Like, if there's anyone to maybe get the best out of him at Manchester United, it would be potentially a former player.
You're going to have 100 games this year, and you want players who you can trust to take part in or come off the bench in Champions League or play the week before the Champions League in the Premier League. It's very expensive to do that, but you know, if you can't get somebody to spend outrageous money, you probably just keep them and say, right, come on.
Restore
your reputation for the United fans. Play with a smile on your face. We love you.
Like, if he's there, they'll need him to play.
And if England do well in this World Cup, he'll want to go back to England. You know, the buzz around that as a whole, playing with a lot of his English teammates, I think that would be a huge draw for him, saying, oh, I've won the World Cup with my country, now I'm being exiled back again to Europe.
It's a very difficult future for all of us there that you're painting, Rachel. Great for him, but not so good for the rest of us. We have to...
I'm in a glass half full mood this morning, apparently, Ger.
But is England winning the World Cup glass half full, is it?
Well...
Tuchel calls for bravery and energy. Livermore ruled out. He's got an injury, so that's tough for him. Shalabal is in. Harry Kane. The messaging will be to go with freedom. We have an extremely strong team, a physical team, so go out and use that. The littlest players on the team are 5'11". Saka, right. Eze, and somebody else.
Saka 5'11"?
Yeah.
I'm not having that.
He dresses bigger, doesn't he?
Freedom. I hope he's talking about the football type of freedom, but not the US type of freedom.
Get himself in major trouble there.
Yeah.
Just before you pop that up, Ger, I was looking at the jerseys last night for Senegal and France.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know the Senegal jersey, it's printed inside out.
On purpose.
Yeah. So if you go on and see the pattern, it's really muted. It's not that obvious, but if you turn it inside out, the colours are really bold And the rumour was that FIFA weren't allowing them to have that much colour in the jersey. So they put it inside out to have the muted colours coming through. But it's class and it works really well.
And when you say it's inside out, if you actually, you know, when you swap jerseys at the end, they turn it in, do you see it? Is it properly?
Oh, you see it completely. Yeah, it's, all the colour comes through perfectly. It's like it was printed that way, but it's almost reversible, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a big trend in world fashion at the moment, isn't it? Be brave and creative, something special. This is the eye paper. That's Tuchel. Every time an English manager says this, they go out and they draw nil all and they play badly. That's my recollection of, oh, we're going to go, we're going to be crowd pleasers. Like, poof.
Yeah. I saw there was some people up in arms about Chalobah getting in and not Trent. He's not bringing in Trent.
No.
He's just not doing it. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't matter who goes down. Reece James could go down. He's not bringing in Trent.
You're more likely to get in now.
Yeah.
Do us proud, England, says the Daily Telegraph. It's a picture of Harry Kane looking straight down the lens into your soul, ready to smash the Croats. Story in the back, which is far more interesting. Williams sisters team up again. Pair in Wimbledon doubles draw thanks to wildcards. So Serena and Venus Williams will reunite in the doubles at Wimbledon for the first time in almost 4 years, while former British number one Dan Evans has been left out of the singles wildcard list. Whatever. The American pair will join forces again at SW19 to compete for the trophy they won six times together between 2000 and 2016. So, I think we'll all be watching this, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Messi doing so well for his age. They're 44 and 46.
Wild.
Yeah. Serena has been retired for 4 years. She's come back and she played in Berlin. And they lost in the doubles as well. They won their opening round, lost the second round. But like already, I don't care about the singles in Wimbledon. I want to watch them.
It's class.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody out there, what about the young ones? Yeah, these are the Williams sisters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've totally changed the game. If they want to come back and do a heritage tour or cash in or whatever it is, well, I don't care. If they're selling some product, I don't care. I'm going to watch them. Rory's warning, false economy of LIV could ruin PGA Tour, says McIlroy. So this is Rory again talking about LIV and how the inflation of the money might actually end up damaging the PGA Tour. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. We'll see. Ireland boss Farrell is adding rookies to his mix, but I don't think it's anybody who we haven't seen in squad before. So there's some suggestion that maybe some of the older players will be left out and allowed to rest over the winter, over the summer. Porter, Byrne, Crowley, we think, is actually going to miss out with injury anyway. McCluskey, they're all struggling with injuries. Furlong, Conan and Bundy might be given the summer off to rest so that they can be managed all the way through to the next World Cup. Anybody else in this that you want to see?
I'd like to see the Connacht front rowers. I think Billy Bahan will be there. He was already kind of involved in the camp during the Six Nations, but I'd like to see Sam Illo as well involved at Tighead, head, particularly if they're going to rest Tadhg Furlong. There's no reason not to bring someone like that in. I think Tom O'Toole will be there as a loose head anyway, so there will be a tight head spot open. He's had a great season, Sam Illo. So, and outside of that, like,
he is one of the players that they picked in inside the mail to suggest that.
It'd be interesting to see what to do with the tens. Like, with Crowley obviously not there, how many do they bring? If it's just three, you know, there's a lot of talk about Prendergast being the number one option again, depending on what happens this Friday night. I think, I know Frawley hasn't played in the most recent games after Bilbao, but I just still think he's the best 10 there. I think it'd be a little bit of a disservice if he's not given a chance to start, considering how good he was during the Six Nations, but we'll see. I'd like to see Jack Murphy brought if they do bring an extra guy at out half as well, or even I'd hope he was in the mini camp this week.
Yeah, they should
at least.
The mini camp should be like 100 people, right?
Yeah.
Let's have a look at you. This is what the standards are. You're on our radar. These are the things you need to work on.
Yeah.
Because we've got very limited amount of games left between now and the World Cup.
Yeah, it's something like 12, is it?
It's not very many.
If that. Yeah.
Well, for the likes of Tadhg Byrne and Tadhg Furlong, I'd definitely be leaving them at home.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just let them rest. Let them have a little
long summer off, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get there. I'd say you've got 6 months now. We'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah, and Tadhg Byrne's been struggling with injury as well.
It would make no sense
to bring him, yeah.
Scarecrow, skipper Harry Warren's rivals have planned to out-muscle him. And then they've got a picture of his arms, which are, you know, I mean, he's a professional athlete, so they're not unimpressive, but they're not like, it's not, you know. Anyway.
It's all very the narrative, like, be brave, go on into battle, isn't it?
Lion hearts.
Yeah.
You've seen this movie before. The Cape of things to come. Pico's certain progression is possible. So Pico Lopez, he was talking to James Corden. What's James Corden doing a show?
I know,
James
I hate
Corden's
it.
Latin. Where is that?
I hate it. I don't know.
Obviously,
it's
American
popping
somewhere.
Up my feed.
Zlatan was on with. I saw people giving out about Alexi Lalas in the States. Have you
they
seen
keep going back. Yeah, they keep going back and forth about random things. He
Lalas and who?
And Zlatan. So he was talking about Haaland, and Lalas was saying that if Haaland has a good World Cup, he will put him above Zlatan in legendary status. And Zlatan was like, fuck you, buddy. And then Lalas there was, what was he talking about? Oh, he was calling the French players arrogant. And he was like, they have a right to be arrogant. And then I think they're just about to go to a commercial break, and Zlatan went, they're not arrogant, they're confident. So it's like, they generally don't think they
well?
Like,
so where? So,
that's Fox.
Okay.
They're on Fox.
Yeah.
Henri's the third pundit. Yeah, it's a weird dynamic because like Zlatan clearly doesn't like him.
And maybe they're playing up to that, isn't there?
Maybe they're playing up to it a little bit. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but...
I see a lot of Americans on social media going, oh, he's a disgrace to the country. I'm like, really? Is he? There's other things going on that maybe he might be a bit more... So is
Henri's doing a couple as well, just like looks to camera every time people are saying something that he's uncomfortable with, then...
It'd be great if he said that, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Like, come on, Thierry. Come on.
Oh, his facial expressions are the best in the world, though. They're amazing.
Come on, Thierry. Typical Libra navel gazing. Was that what the Ramon Dominic dismissal of Thierry Henry was?
Oh, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
I don't even know. Whatever. Maybe it's a Leo. I don't know. Right, let's talk about the hurling. How are Cork feeling? Are you considering not going to the game because you've got tickets for a gig? Did you say that off air that I wasn't allowed to repeat?
You said it off air.
Complacency.
Sir.
Whoa.
No. That's the last time I said you anything in confidence, Ger.
What?
Yeah, I've
just seeping and you're just like texting the players going, here, listen, I hope you don't mind, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, like, sorry, I have to hear Man I Need out loud and live.
Oh, it's Olivia Dean.
It's Olivia Dean.
That's fair enough.
She was like my one concert pick. I had a bit of a mare with concert tickets so far this year. Anyone who follows me on Instagram will understand. I bought about 7 or 8 tickets for gigs in Cork because I kind of thought I might be living down there, and turns out I was based in Dublin for the summer, so wanted to go see all of those gigs then in Dublin. So I spent like the last 3 or 4 weeks just flogging tickets for everything I had.
Did you get rid of them?
Yes.
Okay.
But like true stress. It was nearly a secondhand job at one stage, or I thought I was going to be kind of flagged across Facebook Marketplace for being a ticket tout. And I just, Olivia Dean is my one woman that I really wanted to see all summer. She was the highlight.
And where is she playing on Sunday?
She's playing Marley Park.
Okay.
Now she's also playing on Saturday. So if anyone would like to swap tickets with me.
Oh, there's...
Yeah.
There is a great ticket swap site.
Ticket swap.
There's another one. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, if anyone would like to swap tickets with me for Olivia Dean on Saturday, I will bring you to Semple Stadium to come and see Roughly with me.
There you go.
This is a little bit of a carrot there. How are Cork feeling? Undecided, I would say. Like, great that Dara Fitzgibbon is back training. I don't know, we doubt we'll see him start. Robbie O'Flynn is back, but you're missing Tommy O'Connell and Tim O'Mahony, and they've been so pivotal so far this year. And you won't know what to expect from this Offaly team. Like, they've got absolutely nothing to lose. I was chatting to Killian Sampson at the launch of the Hurling Championship as well, and he was just so excited about it. He didn't even bother kind of trying to talk down like anything. He just said, we're going to go hell for leather, and why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, they've gotten some really good results this year. It's in Semple Stadium. You know, they're going to have a huge crowd behind them. They kind of started off a little bit slow this year support-wise, but it's grown. And throw the kitchen sink at them. Like, they're fast, they're wiry, they're so skillful. They can cause teams problems.
Yeah, and they have a huge sense of confidence, as you say. So it's not set up for an ambush or anything like that. They're 13-point favourites, Cork, so you'd still expect them to come through. I would start Dara Fitz just to like give him the first half and then take him off. No? What would you...
It's, you know, when you're dealing with something like appendicitis, you just don't know. It's so different to a knock. Like, would you be afraid of stitches? Is contact going to be an issue if he's kind of half going to pull out of something? Are you better resting him? It's a bit of an unknown territory, I suppose, in terms of injury-wise.
It's a fair point. I suppose if they feel like he's ready to do 15, 20 minutes at the end, my inkling would be to get him out and take him off whenever he feels like it so that you have a chance of starting him in a semi-final, should they make it. Not disrespect. Fair play to Offaly, the story of the summer so far. But Yeah, we can hear from him. He's in.
Take a listen to Dara Fitz. He's speaking to Tommy Rooney about his appendicitis the other day.
Dara Fitzgibbon, I take it it's been a funny couple of weeks for you. You've missed out on a bit of hurling. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, good, Tommy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a funny few weeks, sorry, but it's only a small thing, really, in the grand scheme of things. So looking forward to getting back into it now, hopefully, over the next few weeks.
How does appendicitis happen upon you? Doesn't sound like it's nice.
Yeah, no, it was just, I just came from school there one day and just had a pain in my stomach. And I think that was a Thursday or Friday, and we were training on the Saturday morning. So I knew like that the doctors, Dr. Adrian Murphy, he's involved with us, he'd be at training. So I kind of held off doing anything about it until I went to training on Saturday morning, and he said I needed to go straight to the hospital. So it was all good though. He looked after me, very grateful for him. So it was all, I was out again within 24 hours, so I was happy out.
Good man, you did what most males around the world are doing. You buried your head in the sand and you wait a couple of days before you're told to go in. Oh, well, thank God all is good. And come here, you were added back onto the panel for the Munster final, so you were in the mix that day, but you were on the standby list really, weren't you?
That was more kind of just a thing, just obviously being the role of captain this year, so it was just to be around the lads and stuff, but I was never going to be playing really, you know.
All right, so as Tommy points out, typical male. Everybody's like,
yeah, wait as long as possible until it's
I'm
an issue.
It's fine. Don't look at me. So never going to be playing as recently as 2 weeks ago. Maybe it is massive, and maybe the right thing to do is give him 10 minutes at the end.
Yeah, I think so. Especially if the pitch of the game has lost a little bit of that intensity for someone coming back from having a couple of weeks out of injury.
Yeah, because if you start, you're actually asking your opposite number to go, oh, just test out his appendix there, will you? Just see what that's like, lads. Oof. That's your job today.
Jesus.
That's how the GA works, right?
Yeah, you start him and then you lose him. It's a real momentum killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the whole team. So, I think leave him off and...
Leave him off for 20 minutes. City Fairs, like...
I mean, look, it's Dara Fitzgibbon. He's unbelievable. You know, he's one of those ones that's really stood the test of time the last couple of years. If he doesn't play at the weekend, I'm still not worried about him.
Yeah.
Who would it likely to play in the semi-final if they get through Offaly? Do we know?
I don't. I haven't looked at the... See if there's a bracket.
Because you want...
Galway, isn't it?
Okay. Yes. You want Environ in a semi-final. It's the only thing. So like 5 minutes off the bench, like obviously he's a great player, but he's missed a bit of time now. You don't want him totally cold going into a game like that. Yeah, like maybe we're overstating the need to get him on the pitch for a certain length of time, but in my eyes, in any sport, I'd want him getting at least 15, 20 minutes in knockout hurling before he goes into a semi-final. Maybe he's the type of player that doesn't need it, but...
Yeah, he strikes me like the kind of player that doesn't. He's just consistent. He's not one of the people that kind of rise and fall or...
No.
He'll peak towards the end of a semi-final or a final.
He's an actual 7 out of 10 minimum every game.
Minimum. Yeah. 7.5 to 8.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be worried about him. And he's got such an engine always.
Games like this are relatively tricky, but Cork traditionally have been quite good at dealing with opposition that they are superior to. They're happy to play the role of flat track bully. So notwithstanding that, what is the consensus at the moment about how the season is going? Because we did obviously hear early on, now we're going to win everything, that's the plan. And then when that doesn't happen, how big a setback is it?
I don't think it's that big of a setback. I find it so funny when people pull up those Alan Connolly comments as if any team are going out at the start of the year being
not
like,
to win. Yeah.
Ah, Jesus.
You don't say it though.
Why not?
Because they're Irish. It's like don't tell anybody you've got appendicitis. It's like, well, you can't tell people we're trying to win this competition that we've entered. But we're clearly trying to win. But just don't say it.
Because then people will bring it back up.
I just think it's so silly that people would be posting that after the Munster final loss. It's just like, obviously you want to go out and win. And when a team, Tipperary last year, say, they won the All-Ireland final. They brought out, there was a really good documentary brought out about the year of them and they won the All-Ireland final. If word got out that Cork were after making a documentary last year and they lost the country, they lost, right, poor second half performance, but that's all that was the difference between them winning and losing the All-Ireland final last year. And if word got out then, oh, sure, look at Cork. They thought they had the thing won and they made a documentary and they didn't even win. But when Tipperary bring the documentary out, it's like, just fair play to them, lads. Wasn't that great? They had that belief all along and they kept it to themselves. Like, it's just...
So the winners write history. It's a fair point.
Yeah.
And especially when Cork lose, everybody's just a little bit happier.
Yeah. But sorry, to answer your question. slight rant there. To answer your question, I still don't think people are entirely sure. Positive. Like, the Munster final, it was a good game against a really, really strong Limerick side. It's just, I think it is a big worry of the final last year. Like, that's playing on everyone's minds, and I know it's been said, and it's been said, but...
They're a totally different team, aren't they, though? Ben is, like, Ben's chippiness has taken almost all of the hype and stuff talking about the fans. That's gone now, maybe because they lost the Munster final. Maybe if they won the Munster final and they were rolling into semi-final, we'd be back at the, like...
I don't think so. I don't think that would have made a huge...
I don't think so either.
A huge difference.
I think that Ben being that figure out front, giving out about everything, has actually really helped them.
Yeah, and last year it was just a great summer. We talked so much about Munster hurling, and because the Cork crowds were so big, there was just such a focus of it. I don't think there was ever going to be as much of a narrative this year, because it's like...
It wasn't
okay,
new.
Yeah. Cork is selling out stadiums. They've got huge support. A lot of it's young. They're setting off flares. But yeah, none of it's new, and other counties are kind of pulling back, doing the same thing now as well.
I think the extra game might suit them as well this season, just because last year, yeah, everything was going so well up until it wasn't. Like, it felt like the Dublin semi-final probably wasn't the test that they needed at that stage, and then Tip came in, you know, having played against better opposition and looked more ready for a final. I feel like having that extra game, look, Galway maybe it's not, they're a bit better than Dublin, but maybe it's a similar boat. But having that extra game against Offaly might just prove well to them if they do make a final.
Especially with the loss of Kieran Joyce. I think it was great to see how well Damian Callaghan did in the Munster final against Limerick. But you lose your fullback, like, you need a couple of games with a team changed around. And well, great to see Rob Downey back as well in the Munster final. I think it just showed his importance to the team that... having him back and that spine was crucial.
Yeah, and by the extra game being good for them, barring a situation where somebody else goes down, that's the one caveat to that. I also think that, like, maybe part of the hype was to do with the style of play, because it was so ebullient and goal-centric and, like, outrageous throwback to the 90s. And that's gone too.
Yeah.
This is much more a team of the early noughties, which was, like, full of incredible characters, but were winning games 14-10.
Yeah.
And that's not how hurling is supposed to be anymore. So Ben has brought, like, a change of style. He's the man in front. He's the point man. He's taken all that hassle and stress, and a lot of the side narratives are actually largely gone. We're talking about injuries. We're talking about style of play. We're not talking about the crowd and the hype and the expectation. So, I know. I would say they're in a good spot, having lost that game, weirdly.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, bring them back down to earth. And, like, it was good that probably they had those problems in the second half with the limited scores from play, and that was able to happen in the Munster final, because that is clearly something that you need to fix.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. It's 18 minutes past 8. If anybody wants to get in touch this morning, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. John Bruin is standing by to preview England-Croatia and talk a little bit about all of the world's best strikers coming into form precisely the moment the World Cup kicks off, which is a glorious coincidence for us. In the meantime, a reminder, we're live every morning with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash.